Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
It's good to be here at Riverview Baptist Church. Praise the Lord again for what He's doing here. Amen. Greater Green Bay area. If you would take the Word of God and please open up to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we'll start out this morning. When we come to Revelation chapter 3, we understand that Jesus Christ has been speaking to the seven churches there in that first century of when Christ came to this earth and discipled those whom God gave him, as we spoke about in Sunday school. And now we come to these seven churches. When we get to verse 14, when we come to that last church, the church of the Laodiceans, and the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen." That's Jesus Christ, by the way. Amen. Amen. That's a name of agreement, a name that is beautiful that we shouldn't ever take in vain. So when we see that name, Amen, we know that's Jesus Christ, the faithful. He's faithful, and He's a true witness, the beginning of creation of God, the creation of God, the things that He's created. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I will counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And may we have an ear to hear today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're praying that you would be honored and glorified this morning. Praying that you would help me to step aside, and that my pride, my ambition would be taken away, but that my heart would be open to you and ready to listen, ready to hear, ready for you to work. Thank you, Almighty God, that you have brought us all together that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And we're praying, Father, as we have prepared our heart to come and worship you, that you would be honored. Father, we pray that lukewarmness would not be within our heart tonight, or this morning, excuse me, and if there is any lukewarmness in our heart, in the works that we are doing, we pray, Father, that you would break us of that today. We pray, Father, that you would help us, God, that we might stand beside you and follow after you all the days of our life. And we love you and thank you for the truth again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We live in a Laodicean world, the world around us. What we just have read is it perfectly describes the world around us today. We've come into that Laodicean age where people aren't looking to God. They're looking at the things that God has allowed them to have. And they are relying on those things instead of searching after God. When we go back 2,000 years ago, we come to this Laodicean church. We realize that they were in the city of Laodicea. We realize that they lived in a city and became like that city. Became like that city. And for all of eternity, the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. not the fact that there was a city who was bad and who was had different thoughts towards God than what they should have had, but that there was a church that they allowed the city, the world, to creep into the church. And forever in heaven it's settled that that city is marred, not because of the city, but because of the church that gave them a bad reputation. And we need to look at that. This world today, this Laodicean world that we live in today, is preaching to you, preaching more than your preacher can preach to you, more than you can sit down and read the Word of God. In the morning, I pray you get up in the morning, or maybe you have a time during the daytime where you sit down and you get alone with God. You just want to speak with, you just want to speak to God and have God speak to you back through His Word. That's a precious time, isn't it? Amen. Yes, it is. And so we find that this time alone with God is precious, and God is working in your heart. But then you go out into the world, and the world's just taking the seed forks, and they're dumping their evil seed upon you so that it might grow inside of your heart, so that you might be like them. So that you might be like them. They don't want you like God. They want you to be like them. And they're throwing everything that they can. And we need to find out and understand that we need to control who has an influence over us. We need to control our eye gate. We need to control what comes in our ear gate. And some of us need to stop and say, right now, no more. Draw the line right now and say, no more. I don't want this Laodicean heart to be coming into my ear gate and settling down in my heart so that it might take root. I don't want it to take root in my heart. And that's what I want to talk about today, is preventing the Laodicean heart in me. Preventing the Laodicean heart in me. We need to search after God when we have all of this darkness that's around us. You, my friend, you, beloved, you, brother, you, sister, are a beacon of light in this world right now. And you need to understand that's something that you need to guard. You need to keep a hold of, and that closeness to God. You need to stay close to Him. The Bible perfectly describes a self-will determination, this generation of self-will determined people. They think that they are self-sufficient. They don't need anything else in this world, but there is something so much greater than ourselves. There's something so much greater than I need for you. And you and I, we might be able to make it through the end of life, but there's nothing that can help us after that last breath. There's nothing that can help us after death than Jesus Christ. There's nothing any greater. God alone is the one who can help us be saved, to be born again, to know who He is, so that we might have that eternal life. Praise God that we can have that, and that's what we need to take and have root inside of our life. We need to stop saying, my will be done. We need to start saying, thy will be done. Amen. Following and searching after Him, or it will lead to your own destruction. Let's look at that Laodicean heart for just a second. Laodicean heart, what does it say in verse... let me just stop just for a second before we do, but let's think about what is the standard of the day. 2,000 years ago, nearly 2,000 years later, what the standard is today. What is that church doing, or what is this church doing? We understand what the standard, what the standard quota is for the day for Christianity and for churches. We see it every day, but let's go back and see what it was in that first century Christianity. What were they doing? What made them hot? What made them have works that were pleasing, well pleasing to God? God describes as they were hot. That's something that God would describe as that would please Him, but He wasn't pleased with what? Lukewarmness. He wasn't pleased with that. But what is that? Where is that? What were they doing back in those days? The standard of the churches were that they were church planting. They were planting churches in various places, in hard places where the gospel had never gone before. And you look at church planters such as the Apostle Paul. You say, what did it cost him? It took him stones to the face. It took him rods to the back. It cost many things. Today, church planting is much different in many places, civilized places that we have today. We don't have the harshness of the welcome that the Apostle Paul received when he went into some cities. I've never been beaten in the city that I've been in. I've never been forced out and beat with rods. I've never been in prison in the city that I'm in. Now, one day it may come to that, but right now it's not. Some cities you may go to in Africa. Some cities you may go to in Asia, many different places. You pray for those missionaries. Pray for those missionaries. They need you. They're experiencing persecution. But we find that in those days, the standard for every church was to reproduce himself, amen, to plant churches 10 miles, 15 miles, 30 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles down the road where there is no gospel preaching church. Amen. There's much of that that needs to take place, especially in your state. I'm from a place where everybody's saved, so they think. Well, there's a church on every corner. This is a different place here. All of these places that call themselves a church, that they say they hold the cross up high, they don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they need it here, just like they did need it 2,000 years ago there in the region of Asia and Europe and all of those places in that first century of Christianity. What else? What else was a standard church planting? It was also discipleship. Amen. Discipleship, church planting, and discipleship was a regular thing in churches of those days, and soul winning. Door to door, giving the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking those people and praying that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and disciple those people, bring them along, and reproducing yourself and someone else. Amen. That's exactly what the standard was. So when we look at the definition of lukewarm, let's look at it in verse 15. I know thy works. God wasn't satisfied with their works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. He wasn't satisfied with the church at Laodicea. He was dissatisfied and said, thy works were not what I want. Now, there were some churches like the church at Antioch who were reproducing church after church and sending out church planters, discipling people and raising them up and soul winning. And there were churches like Ephesus, and great things were happening in these churches where many men of God would come out of these churches and go into the uttermost parts of the earth, beginning at their Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, uttermost part of the earth, following after the commandment of God, of Jesus Christ. But we come to Laodicea. Where was it that Christ was dissatisfied with them? Where was it when they stopped planting churches? When they stopped having a vision of planting churches in other areas that needed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that where God said, you're lukewarm. You stopped doing what you used to be doing. You stopped doing what the church that decided to come to Laodicea and plant that church there. You stopped seeing that. You didn't receive that when they planted that church there. It was a blessing to you. It's a blessing to you. Amen. You missed that vision. Where was it? Maybe God let them go a little bit more. And he said, they're still a little bit hot. They're still soul winning. They're still discipling. But they're not planting churches. Maybe they went a little bit further. Maybe they stopped. They continued to soul winning, but they stopped discipling people. Maybe it was there that God said, Jesus Christ said, you're lukewarm. It's no longer well-pleasing to me. No longer, you might even say, God sometimes he says he uses these pictures, these images, these images where we can envision it and we can use our own senses and we can know what lukewarm is. And sometimes he says a sweet savor in my nostrils. Sometimes he says that's what he's saying. He's talking about it's a pleasurable thing to him. These works were not pleasurable unto Jesus Christ. Maybe it was there at discipleship they stopped discipling people. They said we'll go out and we'll witness people and we'll see them saved, but we'll just let them be babes in Christ and feed off of milk for the rest of their life, as long as they'll fill a pew. Or maybe they quit going soul winning. Maybe they quit telling people about Jesus Christ. And maybe that's where God said, you're lukewarm. I don't know exactly where Jesus Christ was, but let's look at that standard and compare it to today's standard. We're so easy to look at today's standard, and today's standard is Laodicea, isn't it? Let's get at God's standard. Amen. And let's find where He places the emphasis in the Word of God. Let's find that. There's some churches that are out there, they don't go soul winning. And they're just hanging on. They're just hanging on to who they have. Trying to, you know what happens then? The preaching gets watered down. That's why you have these churches that are out there. They're watered down. They're not reaching anybody that's out there. They're not giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they've got a watered down message to where they won't even offend people by giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They won't preach about the blood of Jesus Christ because it's too offensive. And they're sending people to hell left and right, left and right. That church in Laodicea, it was planted, we think, around 50 to 60 A.D. somewhere. If it was planted somewhere between 50 and 60 A.D. at this time, it was in around 90 A.D. when John wrote these words underneath the inspiration of the gospel of Jesus, underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, around 90 A.D., that means that this church is about 30 to 40 years old. 30 to 40 years old. How old is Riverview Baptist Church? Does anyone know? 15 and 16. 15 and 16 years old. So you can imagine if they're 30 and 40 years old, the church at Jerusalem only lasted for 40 years before it was persecuted and it was dispersed all over Asia. This church at Laodicea had come to about that point in that third and that fourth generation where they had lost what they had originally received. Somewhere down the line, that discipleship giving that message to the next generation, it was lost. And they become lukewarm. Christ wasn't satisfied with their works. It was lukewarm. About 80 miles away in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul wrote to them saying, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, never of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." God wants us to be saved so that we might follow after Him and do the works that He has for us. And the verse goes on, I want you to make sure and understand that you understand and that everybody that you talk to understands that it's not of good works. Your salvation is not of good works. Remember that Jesus Christ is speaking to the church. He's speaking to a church. We don't know who started the church exactly. We don't know exactly when it started, but who would claim the church of Laodicea? Who would say, "I started that church"? No one would, because it had such a reputation that it offended God, that they were lukewarm. Kind of reminds me of the Tower of Pisa. The Tower of Pisa is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The whole world knows that. It's a Leaning Tower of Pisa. Nobody will claim who created the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's a bell tower for a Catholic cathedral next to it. And it's to the world would say it's a beautiful thing, but it's leaning. It's an embarrassment to whoever started it because it was built on unstable ground and it's leaning, and nobody will claim, "I started that." A lot of people today, it's a big moneymaker right now, and so they'll promote it a lot, but no one will say, "I started that." And so we find that that this church, Laodicea, was more precious in God's eyes than even, you know, brilliant places or places that the world wants to go to, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Why? It was still, don't forget, this is the church that Christ died for.
Yes, sir.
He still loved that church, but he said, I don't want to have fellowship with you because your works are lukewarm, and I spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, why? What is the cause of lukewarmness? Verse 17, because thou sayest, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Jesus Christ said, he said, "You think you're rich, you think you're increased with goods, and you think you have nothing. You look around yourself and say, 'I've got all that I need. I have enough in savings. I have enough in retirement. And I don't need anything else to have faith in God.'" I tell you what, if you look at the blessing that God has blessed you with and you're comfortable because the blessing that God has blessed you with, you've missed it. You missed the reason why God's blessed you with those things.
Amen.
Take your eyes off of those things and look unto a holy God.
Yes.
And realize that He has something so much greater for you, and that you don't need to take your eyes off of Him, your faith off of Him. Grow into something. Ask God to give you a reason to have faith in Him, to step out on something and do something for Him. Find out where He is. because he has a work for you. That verse, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 and 10, I want to end it where it says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And it says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God, when you were born again, God had great plans for you, and he still has great plans for you. Hallelujah. Amen. He's got plans for you, and we must find out where he is, getting on our knees and begging a holy God, God, where are you at? What do you want me to do? If you want me to stay in the city, God, give me something to do. And he'll say, I'm over here. Come find me. Come to me. And we come to him, and we find him, and we stand next to him. And God, who is a consuming fire, we stand next to him, and he creates us, and he makes us hot, as we say, on fire for God. Praise his holy name, that we can be next to him. That's what you are saved for, so that you can be with him. Amen. That's a God that loves you, isn't it? Yeah. He wants you to be with him for all eternity in heaven. He wants you just to be with him. Amen. Amen. What a loving God that we have. And he said, Laodicea, you don't see your blindness. You're blind to the fact that you're a wretch. That means that you're being pierced through with a trial and it seems you're failing. Laodicea, it says you're blind to the fact that you're miserable. You're poor, you're beggarly, in distress. You're blind, mentally living in a smoke, mentally living in a fog. And because you don't have that, beyond the fog, you're looking at what's right around you. You can't see God. You can't see where he's at. You can't see what he wants you to do, and you're not doing those works that were foreordained, as he said, that we should walk in them. Many works, good works that God wants you to do. It's not your salvation. Not your salvation. Don't think it's your salvation. But you're saved to do these works, and he has specific things that he wants you to do. Let's follow after him. Our heart deceives our eyes for confirmation. Sometimes our heart deceives our tongue, and our tongue then tells others what is in our heart, and then they listen and believe, and the deception, they believe the deception in our heart, and you know what? They are deceived in their heart, and the infection has spread and deceived them. And a Laodicean church has grown into a Laodicean world because of this infection. Now, how do I keep my heart from the Laodicean infection? That's the question, isn't it? We live in that Laodicean world. You can't hide from it. I want to talk to you about preventing the Laodicean heart. God has a prevention plan for the Laodicean heart. Turn to Colossians, if you would. The book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4. We've read this book. Many of us have read it many times. We know this verse. Verse 16. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, Colossae was about 10 to 11 miles away from Laodicea, in that same region. The church at Laodicea was the main seat of Phrygia, the region of Phrygia. It was the chiefest city. Chiefest city. The book that we know of as the book or the epistle to the Colossians, it was also written for the Laodiceans. Now, when we get to Revelations, we're talking about a church that's 30 and 40 years old, but when we come to Colossians, we're talking about a church that's brand new. It's somewhere between 1 and 10 years old. And the Apostle Paul's writing this book just to the Colossians? No. To Laodicea, too. Now, wait a minute. That's about 30 years before, let's just say 20 to 30 years before they were the church that we all know as Laodicea, right? Yes, sir. Let's look at the parallels between the book of Colossians and what God was trying to prevent in their heart years before they became that wretched church at Laodicea that God, Jesus said, I spew thee out of my mouth. Let's look at it. Very quickly. Let's look at some of these things. A couple of facts we've already gone over. The book of Colossians was written to Colossians, the church at Colossae, and the Laodiceans from a prison cell in Rome. Paul's writing these words from a prison cell. So don't think that he is a rich man in the sense of having wealth and all of these things around comfort and all of these things. He was in a place where he may have thought he may die there. So let's go to a few things. Many times what happens when someone, they turn away from God and stop doing the things of God, they lose the instruction of God. It's because they have lost hope in God. They've lost hope in God. And let's look at God's foreknowledge, what he has for this church at Laodicea, that he wanted them to have before they came, that church that forgot about God, that looked at the things that they had and said, I'm rich. I'm not in need of anything, not even God. Let's look at it. They lost hope. And how do I prevent from this happening in my heart? Let's look in chapter 1 and verse 23. The Bible says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, even in the church, even there in Laodicea, it had been preached there too, and they should have been saying, amen, let's all remember this for every generation. Let's continue this and tell every generation that God has a special thing to do here and a special work here in Laodicea. They were to remember that and remember the hope of the gospel. They've forgotten the hope. It's one of the first things when somebody turns their back, they lose hope in God. And they should never lose hope in God. Yeah. Never lose hope in God. Always have faith and hope in God. Verse number 5 of chapter 1, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. There's a hope in heaven. It's settled there that we need to have and always remember that it's there. They put their hope in the things of the earth instead of the things that God wanted them to have their hope in. Laodicea became a materialistic society or materialistic church. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse 10. These are parallels that God is trying to prevent them from having that Laodicean heart. Chapter 2 and verse 10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We need to understand, beloved, that if there's a world that's out there, they don't understand that they can be complete in Jesus Christ. They think they're complete with their IRA, with their bank account. They're complete with all of this, these 401ks and all of these things, with a boat in their driveway. They're complete with a mansion that they have. They're complete with their Mercedes Benz. They're complete in the Bible. Says, no, you are not complete outside of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can complete you. And I want you to know that today, that God wants to prevent that Laodicean in heart in you. How? Through this book, Amen. The book of Colossians. Amen. How do you prevent it? Let's look at a verse in chapter 3 and verse 1. One of the greatest things that the church at Laodicea needed to continue and through the age. And somewhere they dropped that book that was given to them. They dropped the word of God that was given to them. They forgot about it. There's a generation that came along in Paul's latter days when everybody else, all the other apostles were gone. All the other apostles were dead. And here they forgot about this verse. These verses. If ye then, verse 1 of chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's what they needed to do. They needed to have that generation, that first and second generation that Paul is writing to right now, and give it to the church 30, when they're 30 and 40. Years down the road, who will be here on the 30th anniversary of Riverview Baptist Church? Who will be here on the 40th? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But all we can do is hope that who God gives us, that we will be faithful in making Him manifest, as we've talked about in Sunday school, and reciprocating that message to the next generation so that they get it, so that they understand it. You get caught up in that Laodicean world. It's so easy to be infected by that seed. It's so easy to let it grow. When you go out into the Laodicean world, don't let it creep in. This is how you prevent it right here. This is how you keep it out. We are dead. We are dead. Remember that. We are dead to this life. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Laodicean church forgot about that. They forgot to set their affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be conformed, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Is he talking about riches in gold? Is he talking about riches in the houses? No, he's not. Look, verse 3, it says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Apostle Paul is trying to point them that it is not the treasures that you have. It's not about the ring of the gold around your neck. It's not about all of these things. It's not about how big your television is. It's not about those treasures, but it's about these treasures right here that are so precious that we need to gain and have and find in the fear of the Lord this wisdom, which is a treasure. This is true treasure to have. The wisdom of God, knowledge of God, this is the treasure that we ought to have precious, and that our children need to hear from our lips and see from us that we're not working 40 hours a week. We're not working 60 hours a week just to pay the rent. We're working so that we might be around other people, and if we receive any blessing, we're to be a blessing. We're working so that we might, yes, pay for these things and live. Yes, absolutely. But this is not the goal. Christ is the goal. Amen. There's a parallel here that's found. It's hidden. And thank God that God warns us. Amen. God warned the church at Laodicea. The second thing, they lost hope. The second thing I want you to understand is that they lost the necessity for God. The solution for that is found in chapter 1, verse 18. We find that, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." They lost the necessity for God. They've forgotten that he was the preeminent one and that he should have preeminence in all things. Let's don't forget that he needs the preeminence. He is the preeminent one. Amen. Let's not ever forget that. Let's tell our children about it all the days of their life. We should beware. Don't forget about that. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware, Paul lays it down. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. They got caught up in all of these other things, no doubt, and forgotten about Christ. They needed Christ, and this is the perfect, perfect prevention plan for Laodicea, but they forgot about it. Not only did they lose hope, then no doubt they lost the necessity in God, but they lost a desire to labor for God, labor for Lord. Laboring for the Lord had, their desire to labor for the Lord had waned. Let me just go to chapter 4 and verse 3. We'll go here. A solution for that. They had lost their zeal for the Lord. Epaphras was the pastor at Colossians, and he had, the Bible says that he had a zeal, a fervency in prayer, a zeal for the Lord. What does it say in Revelations that they had lost? Jesus told the church at Laodicea, have zeal or be zealous and repent. They've forgotten about that first generation who had that zeal for the Lord. But in chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, "With all praying as for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walking in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." Listen, verse 3, it said there was that we should be praying for an open door to speak the mystery of Christ. Are you doing that today? Are you praying to God that God would open up a door of utterance that you might be a witness to God, of God, to those people whom God opens the door to? Are you praying for a thing to do, somehow to lift up the pastor's hands, somehow to be in the ministries of this church, the outreaches of this church, to get a hold of people before they die? God's given us just a specific time, in this world to make a difference. And his truth is what is needed in this lost and dying world. We're to make manifest God's name. Laodiceans apparently wanted to make manifest themselves before man. Say, look at my car, or look at my chariot. Look at my home. Look at what kind of boat I have. Unhealthy churches begin to die when they stop having a desire to plant churches or be a part of church planting, be a part of missions work. Unhealthy churches continue to die when they forget to disciple. When they don't have a desire to disciple other people, they die a little bit more until they just become to the point where they just don't even soul win anymore. Yes. That's an unhealthy church.
Yes, sir.
Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3 and I'll end there. Revelation chapter 3. God cared a lot for that church, didn't he? That Laodicea. We think so badly of them. But it can happen so easily, even in this church. It can happen easily. Let's prevent it. Let's prevent it from happening here. Let's not get accustomed to the things of this world and desiring the things of this world more than the things of God. The Bible says in verse 20 of Revelation chapter 3, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Amen. Thank God for Christ knocking at our door. Salvation is a beautiful thing. Let's look and see what He wants. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." God wants to have a relationship with you. After salvation, that's what He wants. He wants a fellowship with you. He's the one and true God. He's the God who can come to you and fellowship with you. Over a billion and a half Muslims, they've got a God that they worship that cannot fellowship with Him. Why? Because He's not true. He's not alive. But we serve the one true living God. Amen. He said, "Follow after me." Let's follow after Him. Let's fellowship with Him. Have true fellowship. Let's find out where He is. Let's be bold and stand in this last days and stand up for the truth. And let's not be lukewarm. Let's find the standard that God was talking about back in those days. And let's stick to these things. Thank God that you're in a Bible preaching church. Be privileged. And know that it is a privilege to serve here and worship here together.
Yes.
God wants to have a relationship with you. How's your relationship with Him? Have you lost hope in Him? Guess what will come next? He won't be a necessity. After that, you won't hardly do any works for Him at all. You won't be searching after Him. You won't be praying for that door of utterance, that He would open that door of utterance for you to go witness, be a witness for Him. Next thing you know, you'll be right there. Have that Laodicean heart.
Yes.
Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy. But any moment we can be right with God.
Amen.
Let's find God where He's at. Let's go to Him and do His work, that great work that He has for you.
Yes.
Amen. It's foreordained that you should walk in it. Go find it. Follow after Him. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.